across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Lee Chambers.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Now, Cambridge Biomedical Campus, you may know it as that big area sort of behind Long Road and Hills Road. But what exactly goes on there? Well, I spoke to Kristin Ann Rutter a short while ago about it, all the activities, all the businesses and organisations that are there. But before we spoke about those, I asked her, first of all, just to kind of paint a picture of the campus for me, to just give me an overview.
So the Cambridge Biomedical Campus is located on the south side of Cambridge, off Long Road and Hills Road. It's 60 years, actually, this coming year, that Adam Brooks first moved to the site. I think there was a purchase price on the site of about £4,000 at the time. And since then, actually, it's evolved considerably. People who I moved back to Cambridge, and when I was here as a student, it was very much the hospital. But actually, what you now have here is a whole wonderful collaboration of organisations acting to try and improve healthcare. And so you have university buildings and research labs that are here, particularly obviously connected with the medicinal side of research. You have organisations such as the Laboratory of Molecular Biology, which is funded by Medical Research Council, which is actually an incredible organisation that has, I think it's 12 Nobel Prizes have come from there just since 2000, which is, and they look at the structure, the really fundamental structure of molecules in our body. And then you have Cancer Research UK, has one of their largest research institutes here. As many people may know, AstraZeneca are going to be opening their research headquarters here. You have other companies and organisations represented who are sort of doing trials here. There's a big clinical trials unit and clinical research facilities. And so they do collaborations with the doctors, both in the hospitals and the researchers in the university. GSK has one of their few bedded clinical research facilities on the campus. It's not just one hospital anymore, obviously. Papworth moved here, and Cambridge and Peterborough Foundation Trust, who run the mental health and community services for our area. The new children's hospital that has been developed is going to have both mental health and physical health in it. So CPFT would also join us on campus. In addition to AstraZeneca, we have companies such as Abcam and other companies who have either sort of developed out of hospital or are very keen to work closely with clinicians at the hospital or researchers in any of those research institutes. We hope to be able to further provide space that they can come and join the campus. My understanding is that there's going to be a new development called 1000 Discovery Drive next to Abcam, which is going to be sort of multi-occupancy building for people to come and join in.
Wow, so there's quite a community there. I mean, how many people in total are working in that area?
It's around 22,000. So my understanding, it's probably one of the largest, obviously, it depends what you ever, but it's one of the largest sort of employment sites we have in our region.
And what kind of, I mean, it's a big question, this, and but I'm going to ask it anyway. It's quite challenging, but you seem up for a challenge, Christina. I mean, what kind of difference do these organisations make to people on a day-to-day basis?
So obviously, the hospitals make a difference to the lives of everybody who goes through them. And also, particularly as they're now becoming part of the integrated care system and thinking really carefully about how they support care outside of the hospital, support GPs, obviously, and support community care, etc. So there's that direct care aspect. Many of the drugs and treatments that people will be receiving as part of routine care will have actually come out of discoveries that were made on this site. And you know, the whole discovery of the technologies that underlie drugs such as Humira and drugs that treat autoimmune diseases, rheumatoid arthritis and things, those all came out of the LMB. I think something like some of the top-selling drugs, you know, can trace their origins back. In addition to that, some patients here who choose to can obviously enroll in trials or research things that are happening, which, because of the researchers here, there's probably a greater concentration than in many hospitals. For example, that means that they may end up having their genome sequenced as part of their routine care, and that might result in a change of it. They might have the opportunity to try out a new drug or device. That's obviously more on the development side. They're also patients who participate then are also contributing to discoveries, which will help probably hopefully many more in the generations to come. And then also we have patients and citizens who very generously give samples, give access to their tissue, etc., for research. So might not necessarily get a drug, but participate in that way to, again, try and help us crack some of the challenges. All the cancer work of the Cancer Institute and the CRUK is really focused on how can we diagnose cancers much earlier? How can we really make sure that people get the treatment that they should be on as opposed to someone with a slightly different cancer? How does genome sequencing play into that? They will get fabulous care. The care that they get will have been influenced by discoveries that are made here. And then some of them will be partaking in trials that might make a difference to their care or certainly will hopefully help problems of the future.
Why is it important that you have all these organisations together in one place? Because now we can do business by Zoom and over the internet. Why is it important that geographically they're close to one another?
Lots of things can be done remotely. And in fact, I know both the new children's and cancer hospitals are going to be smaller footprints because the aim is to actually be able to give lots more remote care to people closer to their homes. But there are things that can only be done in person, if that makes sense, obviously. And Papworth, they moved to the campus to allow their patients to benefit from the co-location of the sites and the different care and specialties that were available, as well as the collaboration opportunities for their patients in these trials, etc. I spend a lot of my time actually thinking about how to really facilitate that collaboration, because it seems to be such a rich source of ideas. That's why AstraZeneca have come here, actually, and they've created their building is going to be entirely porous on the downstairs for both the public to come in, but doctors and various things, because they say that they need to deeply understand the real problems clinicians and patients are facing. Abcam, for example, want to work with their customers in the laboratories and the hospitals to understand their needs. Often there are joint posts, actually. So a lot of our clinicians also work at the university, work in the labs. It's the opportunity to share ideas and experiences, which can obviously happen over Zoom. But I think we all know that it's quite then sort of deliberate as opposed to opportunistic. There is opportunities for collaboration around the care of a patient and bringing all that right expertise and research to someone who's here statically. There's also the opportunities for employees to work, as I say, across these different organisations quite effectively, have joint posts, move their roles, etc., which I think is possibly, when I talk to people who work on this campus, one of the most exciting things for them.
Obviously, this has been a very challenging time of late. Have there been particular challenges for the biomedical campus?
The challenges that the hospitals have faced have been particularly well addressed, and I'm very pleased, actually. I feel very fortunate as a resident of Cambridge to be located near such wonderful health institutions. And I think a lot of the work of our research institutions does have to happen in person. So you can't do the lab work and the bench science and the tissue science remotely. And so a number of them actually have seen quite a lot of their programs stalled for a period of time and really excited that they're restarting. You know, there was a lot of redirection to COVID-related activities, the creation of a testing hub on the campus using some of the laboratory expertise when we first were very short of COVID testing. So things were redirected. But I think probably more than other places, work has been disrupted because work does require, for many people here, physical being at the lab bench rather than at a desk in their homes.
And what about the future? More Nobel Prizes. Are there any great things that you're excited about on the horizon? Many, I would have thought.
I think there are. It was fabulous to have George Freeman come and visit last week. And, you know, he was in the LMB and they were showing a lot of their discoveries. As I said, it's about the molecular structure. It comes from something called electron microscopy, which has been very expensive and very hard to do. And they were demonstrating a sort of prototype that is going to sort of democratize that research and allow almost everybody to have a bit like the computer, go from a supercomputer to a little, you know, almost every lab to have one of these things. And that will hopefully, you know, lead to many great discoveries. But they were also very excited about the work that they're doing on the brain, to understand the brain. It's one of the last organs of the body that we really don't have the same level of understanding of how it works. So I think cracking the challenges of the brain, I'm very excited about the ambitions of the new cancer and children's hospitals and the research that's connected to that. So both the ambition that these are going to be, the cancer is really focused on early prevention and detection and changing the life course of cancer as a disease and the research that's going to support that. I think there's some amazing figures coming out about once you do start to do sequencing and put additional information about cancer patients together, how much you can actually improve their outcomes. You know, the Children's Hospital is almost probably a global, I think probably certainly an English first, of combining the mental and physical care of children in one place. And given all we now know about and the pressures on our young people now, particularly mental, I think that's going to be groundbreaking. So excited about that, as well as its focus on the rarest diseases that if we can diagnose them really early, again, could have much better outcomes. So I think it's all, I mean, the energy and focus is about how we change the life course of disease, how we keep people living healthier and better for longer, and whether that's our hospitals doing more preventative care in the communities or these new researchers, I think that's what unites everybody on this campus.
And what about the community? If people are listening to this thinking, you know, I'd like to sort of get involved somehow, find out a little bit more, are there ways that they can do that?
We take part in the Science Festival where we have people come here. This year we're doing walking tours because our buildings are still closed, so we've been slightly more restricted in COVID. I would encourage them to look at both the CBC website and the CUHP website where we have an events page. There is something called CBC on Tour, which happens monthly. It used to be going out again pre-COVID to bars in Cambridge, bringing a scientist to talk about the work, but now it's online. So we've had a session on breast cancer. We've had David Rowich on the Children's Hospital. So once a month, CBC on Tour happens. We also have started with our local residents, sort of residents forum and engagement opportunity where we meet with local residents on a sort of quarterly basis. That's relatively new, but expect to see more. There are lots of opportunities through each of my organisations. So unfortunately, not yet one CBC, but there are apprenticeship schemes, for example. There's work experience schemes that happen at the hospital. There's volunteering opportunities. If your listeners or yourself have any sort of suggestions for things people would like to see, this campus is part of Cambridge and it needs to serve the needs of all those around it as well as make a global contribution. So there are ideas that come out of this. I look forward to hearing them.
Oh, that was Christine Ann Rutter, Director of the Cambridge Biomedical Campus. It's 10:44.
Cambridge 105 Radio. Friday evenings on Cambridge 105 Radio, Johnny Five is on the decks with guest DJs from across the region. They're mixing drum and bass, garage, house and dubstep. The Urban Bassline Show, tonight at 7 on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Feeling distressed, needing someone to talk to? Then Lifeline's trained volunteers are here to listen to you and help you work through your options. We care, we listen, and we don't judge. The line is available every day from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. on free phone 0808 808 2121. Calls are confidential and you can choose to remain anonymous. Lifeline is operated by your local mental health charity Lifecraft and is available to anyone over 17 living in Cambridgeshire or Peterborough.
105. Cambridge 105 Radio.